This call is being recorded.
Hi, this is John Richardson speaking with you from Toronto, Canada. Today is February the 9th, 2021. And just this week, what is referred to in the community of Americans abroad as the name and shame list, or some people call it the Liberty List. By that, I mean the list of the people who relinquished U.S. citizenship was released in the last few days. Large number on the list, apparently over 6,000. But this is fascinating because in 2020, renunciations were basically shut down around the world because of the COVID-19 thing. And this, of course, raises the question of what in the world does this list actually mean? What does it represent? And I have with me here today Karen Albert in Australia and Tim Smith in Massachusetts to discuss this. Welcome, Karen. Welcome, Tim. How are you today?
Good. Very good.
Great, John. Thanks. So it's interesting if you look at how these numbers played out in 2020, because you had really huge numbers in the first two quarters and then much smaller numbers in the second two quarters. And the way I read this is that in the first two quarters that the Treasury was using the COVID shutdown of all the consulates to catch up with all of the ones from prior years that they hadn't had a chance to process. And the fourth quarter was pretty small. It was only 660. But like you said, it added up to a record for the year as a whole.
Or at least a record for the ones actually who made it on the list. But I think the point here is that there's not a particular correlation between making it on the list and the time when you committed the deed to get you on the list. Is that correct?
Absolutely not.
So there have been a lot of sort of articles and blog posts and tweets. I mean, every time this list comes out, it lights up the world of social media. And what are some of the things you're seeing people say about this?
So I think there's a couple of misunderstandings that we need to highlight. One of those misunderstandings is that this reflects the political climate in the U.S. at the moment. I even saw an article that said that it's lower in the last quarter of 2020 because there's a new president and people like him. I mean,
you've got to be kidding me.
Somebody's actually saying that. They will remain nameless. But the point is that it takes a long time to get to the point where you're actually even at the consulate. And then once you're at the consulate and have renounced, it can take as little as 2 months to get a CLN, but some people it takes much longer, and it usually takes at least 6 to 9 months, and sometimes very much longer before you show up on the list.
Right. So, you're making an important point here, okay, that there's a difference between the CLN, which means Certificate of Loss of Nationality, the most valuable passport in the world today, by the way. There's a difference between when that is issued and the time that the name actually shows up on the list, correct?
Correct.
Well, that's interesting. Okay. Tim, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, one thought is that this whole system really dates back to the 1990s, which doesn't seem that long ago, but actually the tax consequences of expatriation have changed like two or three times since this list was put into place. I think it's pretty obvious under the way the current law it should be interpreted, and I think everything I've heard from the State Department and the IRS is that this list is of all CLNs issued by the State Department.
Let's pause on that for a second, okay, and I'll come back to you. Now, what you said, the list is all the CLNs. Now, this is actually very contentious. If you were to go out and read about this stuff, there are some people who say that it's not intended to be a list of all CLNs. Karen? where's the controversy? Where's the source of disagreement?
Well, so you'll hear some people say that this has only covered expatriates. And I think that's because of where in the Internal Revenue Code they're referencing to say who's CLN. But basically, if you go through and parse the actual code section, it's all CLNs that have to be reported. Anyone who loses citizenship as defined in 877. But that doesn't mean it's only covered expatriates who lose citizenship. Everyone that gets a CLN loses citizenship.
Right. And I think this is an important point, if I might sort of interject here. Section 877A of the Internal Revenue Code is a very lengthy and broad section, but it does multiple things. One thing it does is it creates the covered expatriate. A second is it talks about the tax consequence of being a covered expatriate. But the third is that it actually defines when somebody loses U.S. citizenship for tax purposes, whether they're a covered expatriate or not. Right? And all of those things are covered in 877A. So when you read the language, losing citizenship, for, you know, within the meaning of Section 877A, that can mean a lot of different things. I am absolutely committed to the view that all people losing citizenship, whether covered expatriates or not, are required to be put on that list.
Right.
Yes. And
anecdotally, have either of you seen or are you aware of people who are not covered expatriates who did appear on the list?
Many.
Yeah, right. I think that's the answer. So I don't, I think there's some people who make the case that, I think part of the reason for trying to make the case is that includes only covered expatriates is to make the point that there are far more expatriations that are showing up on the list. But I wonder if I could ask you, leaving aside whether it includes covered expatriates only or not, would you agree that the list seems to clearly understate the numbers of people renouncing?
It appears to. The people will wait years before their name shows up on the list. And there are some whose name has never shown up on the list.
Yes, and I have one possible explanation, which is I think the IRS has been on record on multiple occasions that they do not find this information. They actually do not use the CLNs at this point for any type of tax enforcement or tax compliance purpose. Although there's been recent suggestions that they do that in terms of comparing who's filed Form 8854 with who they received a CLN from. But up to now, they do not actually do that, in that they simply publish the list because they are required to by law, and they do not consider this a very high priority of all the different things the IRS has to do. So they publish the names when they publish the names.
Yeah, and often later than required by law.
True, yep.
So would it be fair to say that, you know, every time this list comes down, you know, it generates all kinds of discussion. My view of this is I don't think it means very much at all in terms of being able to make useful conclusions. Would you agree, disagree? I mean, do you get excited when you see the list?
Not really.
No, not anymore. I mean, when I was waiting for my name to show up, maybe, but.
I mean, I think one thing to understand is that the Treasury Department, even going back to the Clinton administration, never wanted this list. There's a whole bunch of things they didn't. But the Treasury Department wanted, and I believe their point person in Congress was the late Senator Daniel Patrick Moynihan, is they wanted the deemed sale mark-to-market tax. And that was pretty much it. All this other stuff that tries to seemingly make the process of expatriation more punitive was actually not really supported by the administration. And it was especially not supported by Senator Moynihan. I believe he was opposed to the name and shame list.
What do you think? What do you think the purpose of the name and shame list is anyway? I mean, I was thinking about it the other day.
That's the wrong name for it. It's the Liberty List.
That's correct. Yeah.
Actually, many years ago, I helped somebody get a backdated CLN.
Yeah.
And that was where I first heard it. She said that she was making a Liberty quilt. She was so excited. She was making a Liberty quilt when she got in the CLN. But seriously, I mean, what in the world is the point of, you know, it's as though, you know, in the old days, you'd walk into the town center and somebody had a list of all the bad people. You know, this is the modern day equivalent. What in the world is the purpose of this? You know,
well, I think back in the 1990s, even before this list was published, there was a definite effort on the part of some publications like Forbes. Forbes magazine was one of the key ones who wanted to find out how many people were renouncing citizenship. And then they wanted to use that a cudgel against, the administration at the time. They wanted to say, oh, all these people are renouncing because of the Clinton administration's poor tax and economic policies.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
I do think, to be fair to like Senator Moynihan, I think he probably, if you actually read some of his remarks on this issue back in the 90s, he did not come out, let's say, in favor of residency-based taxation. But I do think he viewed this through more of a civil liberties and human rights perspective than some other members of Congress. I think genuinely believed people had the right to expatriate and the government really couldn't stop them. Whereas I think there were some other members of Congress that really wanted to try to stop people from expatriating.
Trying to ridicule people. That's all. Yeah. Just trying to ridicule, and most of them feel proud. I mean, I remember once somebody told me, it's going back a number of years, you know, she said to me, you know, the proudest I've ever felt about my children was the day that they renounced U.S. citizenship. You know, so, I mean, I almost think it's having a reverse effect. It is so hard for people to shed U.S. citizenship that I think that many of them feel their renunciations and all the planning to be, you know, one of their life achievements, actually.
Yeah, and I'm not sure. I mean, I think the media likes the list. But even so, I've seen figures on the list, so let's say I know live in people whose names, are reasonably well-known in Canada, let's say. And the U.S. media doesn't even pick up on it at all. Mm. Even though they're people who, let's say, are quite wealthy living in Canada. I mean, the media likes the list. I know this journalist that review it every time it comes out. But even in that context, it's very rare that I think the media finds someone or something on the list that's considered of interest to U.S. viewership or readership.
Well, I think it's mainly just publicized by the media now. Otherwise, I don't think anybody would have any interest at all in this. But let me just move the conversation in this direction for a moment. Green card holders. I had this discussion with somebody a couple of days ago. Are they reported, and are they required to be reported on this list?
I don't think they're on the list, at least not many of them, if any, because the IRS isn't given the form that you use to relinquish your green card. So they don't have that. The only thing they possibly have is the 8854.
Yeah, I think the issue with the green card holders is that they Well, it's a good question. I mean, one issue is green card holders. You have to have been a green card holder for more than 5 years to be a covered expatriate.
You mean long-term resident.
Long-term resident, yeah.
The last 15 years to be a long-term resident. Yeah, the language is confusing. This is one of the things about the United States is that even when they write complex laws, they find ways to confuse them by cross-referencing other sections.
Yes.
And if you look at the current rules, the 877A rules, they cross-reference the old rules in 877 in two key areas. One of them is the definition of long-term resident. The other is the definition of covered expatriate. But if you look at 877, what's interesting is the very last paragraph, paragraph H, specifically says the section does not apply for those who hand in the green cards or whatever after June 16th, 2008. And to the extent that there's an argument to report green card holders, it's in 877.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if there's even any statutory authorization for putting a green card holder on the list.
I don't think there is. If you read 6039G, which I happen to have open here, it says the secretary shall publish in the Federal Register the name of each individual losing United States citizenship within the meaning of 877 lowercase a or 877 cap a. With respect to whom the secretary receives information under the preceding sentence.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, I'm not sure what the preceding sentence is because
nobody knows that, Karen. You know, I mean, it's very important, you know, that people can't understand the law, right? I mean, that's the most important characteristic of a good law.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting that, I mean, you know, even on the reporting issue, this is so confused, right? I mean, you've got nobody even knows what the numbers mean. No correlation between CLN being issued and when you appear on the list. We have people not even appearing on the list. There are some people who think that it applies only to citizens who are covered expatriates, although I think that's clearly wrong.
Yes.
People can't determine whether green card holders should be included or not. Oh, my God. I mean, there's no way I think that any useful conclusion can be drawn from that list except for one. Clearly, the numbers are going up, aren't they?
Yes. The numbers are going up. If your name is on the list, you are free.
That's right. If you're on the list, it means that you are free. So I guess we do call it the Liberty List. Well, I guess the point of this interesting discussion has been that, you know, so little can be known about it for sure.
Yeah. And I think, you mean, to be fair, like I said, I don't think the IRS or the Treasury Department really care that much about this list.
Well, that may very well be. May very well be. Well, okay. Another really interesting chat. Thank you two so much for this. And, one final question. Whatever the Liberty List means, do you expect that there to be a trend of larger numbers on it?
Yes.
As soon as the consulates are open again, yes. There's a lot of pent-up demand right now.
By the way, if anybody is listening from Canada, I can tell you that the doors are opening in Canada. I've had a number of people who've been backlogged on this who are miraculously getting phone calls inviting them into, are you ready for this, renounce their U.S. citizenship.
Yeah,
the consulates in Australia are open as well.
That's right. And it may not be long before those people who are renouncing this month may be on the Liberty List. What a thought. All right, this has been great. Thanks, Karen. Thanks, Tim.
Thanks, John.